Pakistan has been embroiled in political turmoil for months since Bhutto returned to Pakistan last October. As we know, she was a vocal opponent of Musharraf. She wanted him to take off his military uniform that they might make a power-sharing deal. He did, but he also called a state of emergency, so Bhutto called off the deal. Some of her supporters are blaming Musharraf for her death. What do you think this means for Pakistan's security situation, let alone its political system?
Well, first of all, it's no doubt that this is really a dark day in Pakistan. Benazir Bhutto had a spotty record as the prime minister. She had the office twice in 1988 and then in 1993. And she had certainly a lot of problems during her tenure. But she also really stood for the notion of civilian rule in Pakistan. Her father was a beloved prime minister who had also been killed. And so she held out the promise of something better happening to Pakistan. And certainly, I think, for the United States, she had become the focal point of their Pakistan strategy. So her death and this kind of attack on civilians, which unfortunately we're seeing more and more in Pakistan, really signals a major, major deterioration of the situation there. We're very concerned about what's going to happen with her supporters possibly taking to the streets, her party, the PPP, the People's Party, is the largest and most popular party in Pakistan. And so there is really the possibility of angry outbursts by her supporters, especially in Sindh province, which was her power base. And we certainly expect the military now to impose martial law and to go back on the streets. And I think all eyes are on President Musharraf right now, and also his international backers, and really the United States, to see how they will respond to this. It's clear that there is an absolute failure of the current policies in Pakistan. There is absolutely, we're no closer to democracy, quite a bit farther from democracy, and security in Pakistan and all the areas around it has degenerated significantly over the last few months.
Sam, Rawalpindi is a garrison city, and it's seen as one of Pakistan's more secure cities. Does this make the military look negligent in her death? This was not expected to happen today. And will the perception be that the military was not paying close enough attention to security risks towards Ms. Bhutto?
There will certainly be questions raised. As you mentioned, Rawalpindi had until now been one of the most secure places in Pakistan. It is a garrison city. And so there is really a question about what the military is doing if it can't provide security before for an election rally. Remember, President Musharraf had declared elections to be held on January 8th. So the question for the Pakistani military is, if it can't protect Pakistani civilians from this kind of attack, and if it can't protect the country from the worsening situation from neo-Taliban groups in the border areas, then what exactly is it doing, and why does it feel like it should be in a position of ruling the country as it has for the past decade?
Sam, I want to read a quote to you from one of the reports coming out of the region. One of her party officials said, quote, "She has been martyred." Do you think that will be the prevailing point of view?
I think there's no question that she is going to be held as a martyred hero of Pakistan, notwithstanding her many political and possibly personal shortcomings. Like I said, she really did stand for the idea of civilian rule. Many people viewed her as the only hope right now for a peaceful transition out of the mess that President Musharraf had made. And to be assassinated like this will place her, unfortunately, in the same pantheon of heroes as her father, who was also killed by a after a military coup. So her position, which was already essentially guaranteed in Pakistan's Hall of Fame of politics, has now been guaranteed. I think for the rest of the people of Pakistan, the question is, what now? And there will be an incredible amount of sadness and fear about what happens to Pakistan after this terrible incident.
Fear of what exactly?
Well, there's really two problems facing Pakistan right now. On the one hand, we see a growing Islamist, very fanatical movement in the border areas with Afghanistan, which has essentially taken over large parts of Pakistan now and is encroaching upon some of the cities. These are basically neo-Taliban groups, and they have been behind some of the worst attacks, suicide bombings and bombings that we've seen recently, and that President Musharraf was ostensibly trying to fight, and that's how he had justified his authoritarian rule to the United States. On the other hand, what we've seen is that since November 3rd and even before then, President Musharraf had been actually not attacking the fundamentalists and extremists, but rather attacking people like Ms. Bhutto, attacking lawyers, attacking civil society, exactly the forces in the middle who would be supporting him. And so he has essentially, President Musharraf, isolated himself completely from Pakistani society. And the United States policy in Pakistan essentially had been banking completely on Ms. Bhutto, that she would come in and either in a power-sharing agreement, as you had alluded to, or through elections coming up in a couple of weeks, essentially provide a facade of legitimacy to the Pakistani government and allow it to focus on the fight against extremism. With Ms. Bhutto's death, certainly I think that possibility is out the window. The possibility of elections being held, I think, are very remote now. And so Pakistan has been essentially thrust now into a power vacuum where the military doesn't really have any legitimacy. Certainly President Musharraf doesn't have any legitimacy, but there are no alternatives. And that's a real tragedy for a country with quite a strong civil society, media, lawyers. And it's an indication of how bad President Musharraf had mismanaged the country and, unfortunately, how poorly the United States had formulated its policy as the largest supporter of President Musharraf.
You had mentioned the neo-Taliban forces, and of course President Musharraf himself was the victim of several assassination attempts in the early days following the invasions of Afghanistan. At this point, has there been any statements from President Musharraf or his camp relating to the assassination today?
Well, we haven't heard anything yet. I think we're all very anxious to see exactly how President Musharraf responds. The U.S. State Department has not independently confirmed this, as far as I know yet. They had earlier issued a statement. I think it's absolutely clear that what has to happen, what President Musharraf has to do, is to admit the defeat of his policies and to work very quickly on reforming and reconstituting the country's civil society and its infrastructure and its institutions, instead of planning around just a person who, after all, has just been assassinated this morning. So lawyers who are all in jail now have to be freed. The media has to be allowed to operate. Elections have to take place, but in a meaningful and legitimate way. And President Musharraf has essentially to prepare for losing and stepping down. He has shown himself a very poor steward of Afghanistan's government. And I think the United States, having lost its chief hope in Pakistan now, also has to understand that its best hope is to rely on the institutions and the civil society of Pakistan instead of trying to either make a deal with the military or try to buy some more time. All that time ran out this morning in a bomb blast and apparently a hail of gunfire in Rawalpindi.
Sam, you had mentioned the popularity of Benazir Bhutto's Pakistan People's Party. She was one of the first democratically elected female prime ministers in an Islamic country, and she knew the risks of returning to Pakistan. Could you remind our listeners why she returned this past October after all those years in exile, and what did her return signify?
Sure. She had gone into exile basically because she and her husband mostly had been facing corruption charges, actually, and therefore she had been essentially banned from politics. After President Musharraf came in, he was certainly not anxious to have her around because she was essentially his chief rival for authority. But by October, it was clear that President Musharraf's legitimacy was eroding, and I think the people of Pakistan and supporters of Pakistan's government, like the United States, were casting about, and they thought that that Ms. Bhutto could return, could either through a power-sharing arrangement or some other arrangement, basically regain some legitimacy for the battered Pakistani government. And so she returned to clear her name and to basically return as the savior of the country from President Musharraf. If you remember, the very day that she returned, there was a massive assassination attempt that barely missed her in Karachi that killed, I think, about 130 people. So she knew the risks, but at the same time, she was leader of the people. The people of many people in Pakistan looked to her for assistance, and I think the international community, also certainly people in the West, were really hoping that she would be able to help Pakistan. So she came back at a moment when she really represented the best hope for the people of Pakistan and for the international community.
It's worth noting that Benazir Bhutto did face corruption charges at least five times, but was never convicted and was amnestied in October of 2007.
That's correct. And you have to remember that the other civilian prime minister who had been elected, Nawaz Sharif, was also forced into exile because President Musharraf took power in a coup. And Mr. Sharif also came back, but he has not been allowed to participate to stand for elections, for instance, and his activity has been a great deal more circumscribed than Ms. Bhutto's had been. So I think a lot of attention now shifts to him as the last popular civilian political figure in Pakistan. And he, of course, has been taking a much harder line vis-a-vis President Musharraf than Ms. Bhutto has.
Well, Sam Zia Zarifi, we are out of time right now, but I do want to thank you. Sam Zia Zarifi is Research Director of the Asia Division at Human Rights Watch in Washington, D.C., and we thank you for your time and expertise. I'm sure we'll be coming back to you on this breaking story.
Thank you very much.